Celebrated wit, playwright, and sometimes director George S. Kaufman walked into a New York theater. A play that he had written himself and was directing was about to open in just a couple of days, and he was in the last remnants of rehearsals. And he was stopped in the lobby of the theater by an usher who had just been hired. The young man did not recognize Kaufman and asked him very politely, "Excuse me, sir, are you with the production?" And Kaufman, without missing a beat, turned to the young usher and said, "Well, let's just say I'm not necessarily against it." Hello, my name is Brad McIntyre, and welcome to the Cultivated Playwright Podcast, episode number 5. I'm recording this particular episode in mid-October, and the weather around North Texas is just now getting very pleasant, and there's a cool breeze in the evenings, and I have to say, I'm a very big fan of autumn. It's probably my favorite season. In Texas, the summers are very long, oppressive, and hot, very humid, and they last forever, and the winters are cold and rainy. So here in the northern part of Texas, I can't vouch for the rest of the state because Texas is huge, but we have two times of the year when the weather's really nice. We have a couple of weeks in the fall and a couple of weeks in the spring, and the rest of the time, everything is very, very extreme. So we're right at the beginning of several weeks of really pleasant fall weather. So I've called up some friends, and we're going to do some camping trips and put air back in the tire of my bicycle. So, you know, ride around in the evenings, and I like this time of year. That is not the subject of this particular podcast episode, talking about the weather. Today, actually, I want to talk about, well, two things that kind of intersect. I watched a YouTube video recently on a channel that I subscribe to. The channel is called Just Right. JustWrite, Just Right. And normally they release episodes about screenwriting and kind of narrative stuff in popular culture. But their most recent episode that they posted was about Dan Harmon, who is a, if you don't know Dan Harmon, he is the creator of the TV show Community and the co-creator of Rick and Morty, the animated sci-fi show. If you have not seen either Community or Rick and Morty, I envy you. You're in for a treat. Especially if you like just kind of weird sci-fi stuff. Community is hilarious and heartfelt and very meta. It's a show that calls attention to itself that it is a TV show, but doesn't do so in a cheesy, you know, kind of smug way. It's a very kind of subtle wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And Rick and Morty, in my opinion, is just flat-out genius. Although it is very dark and nihilistic in tone, it is just off the charts as far as imagination goes. Anyway, Dan Harmon has a new show, and that's what this YouTube video was exploring. His new show, Dan Harmon's new show, is called Harmon Quest. And in it, he gets together with several friends of his, and usually like a special guest, and he plays like an off-brand version of Dungeons & Dragons. And he does this for a live studio audience, and then they film the whole thing, and then they edit down the good parts of it to make it into a TV show at the end. And they animate the story inside the game that they're playing. If you don't know much about Dungeons & Dragons, it's an improvised role-playing game, and there's a dungeon master who kind of coordinates the whole thing, and it's filled with, you know, magic and fantasy and sword fighting and dragons and all kinds of creatures and things like that. And everyone that plays it plays a character, and the characters go on some sort of adventure, and every time they come up against a challenge, they roll the dice to see if they succeed or not. I mean, a very simplified explanation of it, but in essence, that's what he's doing. And in this YouTube video, they kind of explain that Dan Harmon plays the game a little bit differently than his co-hosts on the show. The people that he has sitting around him at the table actually are comedians and part of Dan Harmon's kind of posse, because he also hosts a podcast. And they play the game And they think to themselves, because they're comedians, how can I make this part funnier or more funny? How can I put in a better joke here? How can I make this more amusing? But when Dan Harmon plays the game, he thinks inside of his head when the gears turn, how can I make this more compelling? Because Dan Harmon is a screenwriter. He is a person that knows a whole bunch about narrative. And so he is concerned with character arcs and making strong choices for what objectives the characters go after and so on and so forth. Now, admittedly, and the video points this out, the comedians are not solely thinking about making it funny. They probably, in the back of their mind, are conscious of the story. And Dan Harmon's a funny guy, so he's probably, you know, weighing whether or not something is funny or not. And it's kind of a matter of degrees. But I like that this person pointed this out in this YouTube video, that Dan Harmon is more concerned with he's not concerned with going for laughs. He is concerned with developing a narrative, developing a story. And watching the video, it made me think of my days doing improvisation on stage. For about 14 years, I have been performing mostly long-form improv comedy. If you're unfamiliar with improv comedy on stage, there are two basic kinds. One is called short form, and it's basically glorified parlor games. Usually the improvisers are split into informal teams, and they compete against each other playing these games. It's like playing charades at a party. Short form games are like, I'm trying to give a good example. There's one where a scene starts, and then the players periodically stop and pull slips of paper out of a hat or a bowl or something, and the audience has written phrases on the paper, and the performers have to work the phrases into the scene somehow. Or sometimes they'll do a scene where all they can do is ask questions. Or sometimes they'll pick up an object and try to make it into all kinds of different kinds of props. So it's like short form games. I usually do not do this kind of improv because the goal of the improv is to play the game. It's not narrative based normally. I do what's called long form improv. And long form improv is where a group of performers get on stage and they basically make up a play on the spot from scratch. So they play different characters. Those characters have wants and desires. And then usually a story forms as the characters go about going after whatever goals that are established. And the only difference really between an improvised play and a play that's pre-written and rehearsed is the audience and the performers are finding out what's happening at the same time in an improv. And of course, it completely disappears after it's done. You were either there and you witnessed it or you weren't. It's never to be repeated ever again. I should say that's the ideal of a long-form improv. The reality of watching improv performances is you see mostly a lot of performers trying to do what this guy in the YouTube video describes the comedians around the table with Dan Harmon are trying to do. Most improvisers, even if they're not short-form game performers, even if they're doing long-form improv, it takes a while to work it out of your system, but most improvisers start out just trying to be clever, trying to be funny. After an improv set is done, the improvisers go backstage and they talk about the good moments they had or the good jokes that they slipped into the scene somehow. And this is not out of the ordinary, and not all improvisers are like this. It's just, in my experience, a lot of improvisers come into performing improv not from the theater, certainly not like my background in playwriting, but they come into it because it's low-hanging fruit. It's a good way to start performing in front of people and doing so-called comedy, so you can work your way up to being a stand-up comedian or a sketch comic, you know, performing sketch comedy, or being a comedic actor of some sort. And so a lot of people try to start it who have no performance backgrounds, and they don't know anything about storytelling. They don't know anything about narrative. And about 2.5 years ago, I actually went out of my way to see a lot of improv comedy. I'd been performing it for years, and I will admit, it is very fun to do. It's indulgently fun to do on stage. To get up there with a group of performers and just have fun making up stuff and playing. And it's kind of like Dungeons and Dragons. watching people play Dungeons & Dragons is not as fun as playing Dungeons & Dragons. It's not necessarily a spectator thing. Improv, it could be argued, unless it's done really well, is not necessarily something that normal audiences should really be seeing, to tell the truth. I'm just stating my opinion in this podcast. It is solely my opinion. I don't want to offend anybody, especially people that have done improv before or have done improv with me. But my views of improv have changed over the years. I went to see a bunch of shows. I went to see about 7 shows over the course of 3 weeks. And I saw a bunch of different improv troupes from around the town that I live in at various experience levels. And what I realized watching it is, sitting in the audience as an audience member, is you just sit there and you wait for something interesting to happen. The tension that forms between the performers and the audience is really based on hoping and waiting for something, anything vaguely interesting to happen. And then when a performer makes a clever comment or a witty remark, everybody applauds and it breaks the tension. And then they go back to trying to improvise a story. Unlike basically a finely crafted play or any other pre-written narrative, like a movie or a novel or something. In improv, you just basically wait around for a long time, waiting for something to happen, and then eventually when it does, you take anything you can get as an audience member, and you're like, oh god, that was funny, good. So kind of like the performers who kind of go backstage and tally up how many times they had a good moment, the audience also kind of tallies up at the end, like, oh, that was funny in places. Nobody ever leaves the audience after a show and thinks to themselves, man, that was a really good story that I saw on stage. It might happen, but in my experience, I have yet to see an improv audience, including my own audiences in a lot of times, walk out remembering the performance. Usually the audience remembers the performers. So when a performer is clever or witty, they remember that the performer did something kind of neat or awesome. But they don't ever remember what the improv was about, which is the opposite of a scripted play. In a play, the actors do their jobs, and if they do their jobs really well, they serve the story. And you may remember somebody was a good actor, but what you remember is the point of the narrative, the point of the plot, what the story was basically about and the incidents that happened. So I kind of cooled my jets on improv for the last, little over 2 years, because I've turned my attention back to not improvising, but actually, you know, writing plays and crafting them. That is not to say that I don't respect improv as a thing unto itself. I think improv is excellent training for performers, especially if they want to go into acting. I think that being forced to listen, not for a cue line, but listen honestly to what the other person on stage is saying, and then you have to react to it. I think that's really good training for any kind of performer, especially actors. Unfortunately, a lot of actors are afraid of improv, and a lot of improv performers do not go into traditional acting, which is kind of a shame, but that's just the way it is. Anyway, it reminded me when I watched this YouTube video that the parallels between how Dan Harmon performs D&D compared to his comedian friend sitting at the table with him in Harmon Quest, and that it's more fun to play Dungeons & Dragons than it is to watch Dungeons & Dragons. It's pretty parallel, it's pretty similar to how long-form improv works. In long-form improv, it's much more fun to do it than it is to watch it, and the most improvisers are trying to do something clever, are trying to be good improvisers, basically, whatever that might mean, instead of being good storytellers. Dan Harmon strikes me as that kind of person. He strikes me as somebody who understands what's going on, and he could turn it on and turn it up and really dominate a room whenever he wants, but he often sits back and goes for the story over the jokes, especially it seems in these Harmon Quest episodes. I encourage you to check it out. Go on YouTube and type in Just Right, and then when you get to the channel, search for Dan Harmon, and it should pop up. It's pretty good little video essay about him, and it just made me think about improv. I am also thinking about improv lately because I'm starting to get restless again. I'm starting to get itchy. I kind of want to go back on stage and do improv again, even though I know that it is kind of self-indulgent in ways. It still is really a lot of fun to perform. And currently I'm a brand new dad. I have a 9-month-old, and I hustle and work a bunch of different jobs, and I don't have the time for performing that I used to have, but that doesn't make the restlessness go away. I still have the itch to want to get on stage and make stuff up on the spot. Anyway, that's what I kind of want to talk about in this particular podcast, and I appreciate everyone for listening. And if you're an improviser, I hope I don't want to insult anybody. Anyway, thanks for listening. If you want to find out more about my work, you can visit my website at bradmcintyre.com. There's links on that website to all my social media accounts. I'm all over the place on the internet, so check that out. And I really appreciate you listening. This is episode number 5, and I'm hoping to keep this going as long as I can. I'm keeping track of ideas as they pop up in my head and kind of write them down and get them down so I can make a podcast out of them. So as long as you guys keep listening, and I think there's 2 or 3 of you now, we'll grow. We will soon be legion, I know. But thanks for listening. Hope you have a wonderful day, and I will talk to you next week.